Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Barry Shoub, the former executive director of the NICD and Professor Emeritus of Virology at Wits University. Prof. Shoub, good afternoon to you. Thank you for being with us again this week.
Good afternoon, Simon. Good afternoon to you and the listeners.
So, Prof, today we're chatting about the differences between AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of questions about this. I think there's quite a lot of confusion. You know, our vaccine rollout was supposed to start off with the AstraZeneca vaccine. It landed, and then we said, no, we can't use it. It's not going to be effective enough. And then we substituted with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which already has been currently rolled out. Several thousand doses have already been administered to our healthcare workers. So I just really want to try and give some kind of background, some kind of explanation of what is going on in the background. First of all, the AstraZeneca vaccine, why did we decide that it probably was not going to be effective enough? Well, first of all, in the laboratory, we started seeing worrying signs because people that had been vaccinated with this AstraZeneca vaccine in the laboratory, and remember, laboratory doesn't tell you everything. It's just an alerting sign. The sera from these people that had been vaccinated really failed to neutralize our new variant virus, the so-called South African variant, the 501YV2, that particular virus. It was very good for the preceding viruses, but not for our South African variant. And that is a bit worrying. Yeah. And then when they actually released data from the actual trials, that really confirmed our worst fears, because you know, the people that were vaccinated with the AstraZeneca, it really was not effective enough. You know, the efficacy went down to about 22%, and the subset of those who were exposed to the new variant was even lower than 22%. So from the laboratory, we started having the warning signals, and then looking at the trial data, people that had been on the vaccine, they weren't really being effectively protected against the new variant. So we really couldn't accept with what we know of the vaccine. It may well still be useful, or maybe valuable in terms of preventing severe infection, or, you know, hospitalization level, illness. But we don't know that. So we can't really kind of advocate a vaccine that we don't, you know, it's still going to be researched. And if it is found to be of value, that it may well be reinstituted. But until we have that data, we can't recommend it. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine, however, has been trialed in South Africa with our vaccine. And it came out reasonably well. It was 57% protective against mild or moderate disease, but more importantly, 85% protective against the more severe disease. So it was very good. So the next question, which I've been asked quite numerous times, is why are these vaccines different? Why are they behaving different? Because they're actually structurally very similar. Both of these vaccines use a harmless carrier, another virus called the adenovirus, to shepherd in the genetic component to make the spike protein to stimulate the immune system. Both of them use adenovirus. But there are differences. The AstraZeneca virus... AstraZeneca vaccine uses a chimpanzee, a non-human adenovirus. That's the one thing, whereas the Johnson & Johnson uses a human adenovirus, the adenovirus 26. It's a very rare one for humans, but a virus which can affect humans. But probably more importantly is that the actual RNA, that construct of the virus is different. It's made differently in the AstraZeneca as compared to the Johnson & Johnson. That probably is what counts. That's probably why in the Johnson & Johnson, it's more effective in our variant. Precisely what the exact biochemical molecular differences still need to be worked out, but that probably is the reason why the Johnson & Johnson is far more effective in our situation with our particular variant. So that's the background to it, why the AstraZeneca was dropped and substituted with the Johnson & Johnson, even though they might superficially look like similar vaccines.
Hear loud and clear, Prof. It is interesting, though, that we started with three and we're down to one. I mean, that's just a little bit concerning, is it not?
Sorry, three?
Three different vaccines to potentially use.
Yeah, well, look, you know, the Johnson, well, we started off with just the AstraZeneca. as the one which was landed to be rolled out. That was just the one. We've now substituted AstraZeneca with Johnson & Johnson, but we are going to get Pfizer as another alternate. So we'll have two. And then other vaccines are also being looked at, including the Russian vaccine, the Sputnik, which I can talk about in a future time as well, which is a promising vaccine, but it's got some question marks still. I can discuss it out of interest at a future time.
Let's do that, Prof. It's 4:30, so we're going to leave it there. As always, thank you for your input this afternoon.
Great. Thanks, Simon. All the best.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.